Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Amen. So, yes, we have started our new series, In Sickness and in Health. We showed you some wedding pictures last week. We're going to continue that series today, and we are so grateful to have Mike Patterson preaching the word for us. I know Sean is there joining him as well. So thank you so much for preaching the word. Good morning, Mike and Sean.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Angel and Christina, thank you so much. You guys have done a tremendous job, and Sean and I are excited to be able to share some thoughts this morning. And good morning, Path brothers and sisters. Good love you. Good morning to all of our Path friends. We love you. And thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to continue our topic, in sickness and in health. So when you hear in sickness and in health, what comes to mind?
30 years ago, when I married Michael Lorenzo Patterson.
Wow.
In the Bronx, New York. We were 25 years old. And I remember clearly, there are two things that I remember that just stand out. One is Michael Patterson sang to me, and he sang this amazing song. The name of the song is You by People Pricing. And I'll read you some of the words. It says, you, everything that is beautiful is you. You, with every breath I take, one is for you. You found your way into my life and taught me how to give. You taught me how to live as if it were magic. It's just love. Talked about, I want to write a song and call it you. You are a symphony. You are the sun, and I could never rise without you. I mean, these words were amazing. This song was amazing, honey. You made me feel like I was the one. I was chosen. You just adored me.
I still feel like you're the
one. Thank you so much.
Yes.
30 years later.
I can't believe it's been 30 years.
Went really, really fast.
Wow.
So grateful for the time. And the other thing that really stands out to me is the promise that we made. Mm-hmm. You know, those vows that we took. And back in the 90s, lots of us, we did Ruth for our vows. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if death separates you and me.
Mm.
And I think that scripture just sums up in sickness and in health.
Mm-hmm.
And I so appreciate the way that God loves us that way, and that marriage represents God's relationship with us as well. I know you're going to talk about some of that today. But I love that Jesus says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so I'm reminded of all of that when I think about our wedding day.
It was a beautiful day. September 15th, 1990.
Yes.
30
yes.
years ago, you yes. were beautiful. You looked like a doll, a porcelain doll on that day.
Oh.
And you are more beautiful today.
Thank you, honey.
And you have truly been loyal to your vows.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I love you very much.
I love you too. Preach the word, baby.
Well, thank you so much. In sickness and in health. Last week, Angel discussed our commitment to God. This week, I want to discuss God's commitment to us. You know, it's very interesting that we talk a lot about lordship, discipleship, being devoted to God. And I've spent some time through this pandemic just studying out the Old Testament. And I've had an opportunity to listen to Bema podcast. And what that is looking at the Old Covenant and the New Testament from a Jewish perspective. And let me tell you, I have learned so much. I haven't been this excited about reading my Bible in a long time. It just has energized me. And, you know, I've been a Christian over 35 years. And let me tell you, you never stop growing. And I'm so grateful. My buddy Jim Linehan told me about this. My buddy Nick Stone Street. And I said, let me check it out. And what I've learned so far, you know, God called the Jewish people thousands of years ago to partner with him in putting the world back together. Now, that's what the host says. God wanted his people to help him put the world back together. And God had a whole plan. His plan was, you know what? You are people of faith. As people of faith, I need you to work with me so we can teach those who don't have faith how to live. That's how they became God's chosen people. And even to this day, God still wants his people to live a life of purpose and fulfillment. Purpose and fulfillment. And you know, and I spent some time this past week looking at the minor prophets. And let me tell you, it was a lot going on with the minor prophets. So if you know anything about me, I love teaching history. I teach history part-time. I love learning and growing and digging deeper in the Word of God and also looking at the history of God's people. So we're going to talk a little bit about the minor prophets, just a few of them. This is what I call a character sketch. So we don't have time to dive deeply into the Bible, but I would like for you to spend some time reading this on your own. We're going to talk about a few prophets. First of all, before we get to the minor prophets, I want us to understand God's people sometimes suffered. As people of God, we will sometimes suffer. Now, God's people suffered a lot because of disobedience. God wanted his people to be concerned about the alien, the orphan, and the widow. He said, I want you to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. And we see that God's people got off track when they became selfish and materialistic, when they started imitating the other nations around them. So basically what God says, okay, you're off track right now. I have got to get you back on track. And he sent prophet after prophet after prophet. And then got to a place and said, you know what? I got to show you I'm serious. And it got really deep for God's people. So Amos was a shepherd. He was a prophet of God. He wasn't a priest. He hadn't studied. He was simply a man who took care of sheep. And God sent him. He said, I need you to go to the northern kingdom and to tell my people that punishment is coming for the nations surrounding them. So, you know, they listened to him. They were like, amen. Yeah, those people have mistreated us. Those people have mistreated us. Then Amon got to the middle of his mission and said, and punishment is coming for us. And they said, whoa, we're God's chosen people. You mean Israel is going to be punished? Yes. Complacency, idolatry, and oppression of the poor. See, God is really serious about how we treat those who can't take care of themselves. And my first question is, will we allow God to use us as men and women who are Christians, who are striving to do God's will? Will we allow God to use us? You know, Amos was just a man who said, Lord, I'll do it. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, I gave you cleanliness of teeth in all your cities and a lack of bread in all your places. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld the rain from you, where there were yet 3 months of the harvest. I will send rain on one city and send no rain to the another city. So what God was saying is, listen, I was trying to get your attention. I was trying to help you understand. Listen, you need to repent. You need to change. But God's people were stubborn. They said, okay, we didn't get rain this time. Not a harvest. Oh, we'll be okay. And you know, sometimes we can be like that. Sometimes in our relationship with God, God tries to get our attention and we just continue to do what we think is best. I've been guilty of that. And let me tell you, when God gets your attention, he knows how to get our attention. God knows how to slow us down for us to recalibrate, for us to figure out, are we moving in the right direction? And there are so many intense lessons that God's people had to learn. But you know, in sickness and in health, God had made a commitment to his people. Right now, they weren't doing that well. They were kind of sick spiritually. But you know what God says? He says, I will stand by you. That in that day, I will raise up the booth of David that has fallen. That's in Amos chapter 9. And repair his breaches. And raise up his ruins. And rebuild it as in the days of old. God says at the end of the discourse with Amos, in that day, I will raise up David. So basically, when you start reading through the minor prophets, at time, it can be like, oh my gosh, doom and gloom. But then there's a glimmer of hope. God says, I'm going to come back. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to work with you. I just want you to grow and learn what you need to learn. You know, and God gave another gentleman an assignment. His name was Hosea. Hosea was a prophet, and Hosea's assignment was to marry a prostitute named Gomer. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty intense assignment. But it showed me that God was so intensely in love with his people that he chose a man to suffer that everybody could look at what he was going through and say, wow, this is a parody. This is a real love story. It's a tragedy, but it's true. Oh, wow. So Hosea's going through this. This is God's love for his people that sometimes we prostitute ourselves to other things. We run behind other idols. And God told Hosea, when Gomer had committed adultery and gotten sold into slavery, go buy her back and tell her you're going home with me. Brothers, I don't know how you feel when you hear a story about Hosea. It's challenging, but really, it's a story on the intense love of God. When we move right along, Jeremiah is a longer story. He's not really a minor prophet, but he ties into this whole concept of God reaching out to his people. Jeremiah was led into captivity with so many of the Israelites. He had been preaching to the nation of Judah, and finally, tragedy happened, and their whole world as they had known it changed. Everything changed overnight. And I think we can relate to that, how you wake up one morning, and your whole world has changed. You're getting messages that you can't go outside. Your favorite restaurant is closed. You can't go to the movies. What I want us to understand that the beauty of the Word of God, it shows us what humanity has always had to go through. We're not the first to suffer. We're not the first to go through hard times. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, I want to encourage you to spend some time reading it, because the more I read the Bible, the more we read God's history, we can learn how God has always worked with his people. You know, Lamentations chapter 3 is deep because in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah has all these feelings and emotions that he's expressing to God. And what we notice about the Hebrew tradition, the Jewish tradition, they wrestled with God. They felt as though they could communicate with God how they felt deeply. And you know what? God could handle their emotions. So in the Jewish tradition, they don't mind wrestling. And we see all of Jeremiah's humanity. Jeremiah said, I am a man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me, he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. So that's Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is saying, listen, he has made me old. He has broken my bones. I'm withering away. This is hard. Does not sound like prosperity gospel. Because sometimes we want to say everything's amazing. It's awesome. How you feel? I'm feeling great. I'm feeling good. God bless me. Oh, God is. And we aren't real about the challenges that we're going through. We cannot mature spiritually until we learn to accept the challenges of life, just as we accept the blessings of life. See, a part of spiritual maturity is being able to say, this is hard. This is difficult. This is challenging. I'm struggling with this. Jeremiah said in verse 15, he has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. Jeremiah said, listen, I feel like this is not what I signed up for, God. I'm your people. We're your chosen people. And his heart was just filled with all this anxiety and unhappiness. He was mourning over the life that he knew. It wasn't the same anymore. And I think as we work through whatever we're going through spiritually, it's good to take some time out to acknowledge how we feel. Some of us are mourning. Some of us have lost relatives. I know our brother Doug in Detroit has lost his mentor. This thing is real. Some of us, we've lost friends. Some of us, we've lost jobs. We don't know if we're going to have a job. I've never in my life have seen so many Americans hungry. Now, I know that happened in the 1930s and 40s during the Great Depression, but I've never seen just car after car filling up a whole airport parking lot for people waiting to get food. There are people really struggling, really suffering. And there are people now, I work with high school seniors. They work really hard. They were looking forward to graduation. It's not going to be the ceremony they had envisioned. There's some of us, we've worked hard to have that dream vacation. I know Sean and I, we're going to celebrate 30 years of marriage. We're trying to figure out where we're going to go. It may be a staycation. We may have to celebrate at home. You know, that's a landmark time, 30 years of marriage. I'm grateful, so grateful. God has blessed me with an incredible partner and wife. And I just wanted to do something special. We're looking forward to traveling. We may not be able to. And then some of us, we're wondering if sports ever coming back. What's going to happen with the Falcons? Ms. Gayle, I know you love yourself some football. And what our lives have changed. Why is that important, to be honest? Number one, if we can't be honest with God, we won't be honest with other people. And see, when we're not honest with God and honest with other people, we're not relatable. Because we will have friends and neighbors who lose loved ones, who lose coworkers, who lose a job, who are struggling to have food. And if we don't have any compassion, if we don't have any feelings like, yeah, I understand. I know you were looking forward to your wedding and you had all your invitations out. That must be hard. See, I had a meltdown. I hate to say it. I got to confess. I had a meltdown the other day and I'm like, man, this is hard. I grew up in Florida. I have gone outside just about every day of my life. Even in New York during blizzards, I would leave the house and walk to the store and go get some coffee. You know, life didn't stop in New York because of a blizzard. I've never had to just stop, put on a mask, put on gloves, just to go to the supermarket. And it got to me. I'm like, wow, life as I know it has changed. And I believe I was mourning. I believe I was feeling sad. And, you know, I was like, wow, it's so different. So what do you do with those feelings? What do you do with those emotions? Well, first of all, we have to validate them. We have to acknowledge them, but we can't stay in them. We can't stay there. My wife let me know I couldn't stay there. And even God lets us know we can't stay there because Jeremiah wrestled with God after he said all he needed to say in Lamentations chapter 3 in verse 20, and this has been one of my favorite passages for many years. My soul continually remembers, and it is bowed down within me, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What do we see out of here? First of all, number one, we see hope. As Christians, we have to be people of hope. I believe right now what God needs more than anything else is for his people to express hope. That's why we got to talk about our struggles, talk about our feelings, get them out. And we got to be relatable to our friends and family. But then we got to go back to the word of God. Secondly, it says love. Because of his great love, we haven't perished. God is compassionate, and most of all, God is faithful. God is with us even in the darkest of times. God is with us in the most challenging times. As I was listening to the Bema broadcast, Marty Solomon got to the book of Ezekiel. That's a heavy book, and I thought for sure he was going to go into some very deep, long discourse about the book of Ezekiel. And he basically camped out in chapter 1. And in chapter 1, it talks about the wheel and the middle of the wheel, the beams, the eyes, and the faces, how they face four directions, which represented north, south, east, and west. And he said, you know what? In his interpretation as a Jewish man, he said, you know what I believe? I believe when God was saying to his people, wherever you go, I'm going with you. That's what the wheels meant. Now, some people say those were ancient UFOs. No, it was God saying, my glory is going with you, because it says the glory of God left the temple. And then when you read Jeremiah and these guys, they talk about how they saw the glory of God where they were. God never left his people. If they were going east, he was going east. If they were going west, he was going west. No matter what direction. And I felt something. I felt emotional. I'm starting to feel more things as I get older. I'm like, wow. No matter where we go, if we're God's people, he's there with us. And that ties into the topic, in sickness and in health. God has committed to us. We may not be doing that well spiritually right now. We may not be at a good place. Some of us, we feel like we're alone. You know, we're separated from the body in a sense. We just want a hug. We just want encouragement. Some of us just may not be doing that well spiritually. God hadn't left. God hadn't given up. God still loves us. So what that tells me, no matter what I go through as a believer, God wants me to be hopeful. He wants me to have love. He wants me to understand that he's compassionate. And most of all, he's faithful. If you are not a Christian right now, I want to encourage you, get to know the God of the Bible. Get to know the God of the Old Covenant to see how God has been so loyal, so committed, so loving, so patient with his people. And even for those who were not of the Jewish nation, there's so many biblical examples of how God loved all people. And he still loves all people. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, when you read Hebrews chapter 13, there are a number of things that it says. But then that last stanza said, God made a promise to his people. Never will I leave you. Never will I abandon you. Right now, we're going through one of the most difficult challenges in the history of this country. God needs us as his people to be a shining example, to be a source of encouragement, to be an example of faithfulness, and to be an example of hope. I don't want to make light of anyone's situation. No, this is tough. And I think the only way we'll get through this is really trusting Jesus. And what we do every Sunday, we stop what we're doing, take some time out to remember why we do what we do. The motivation is Jesus. He came to this earth. He was the embodiment of God. He was a great example of a man who was totally submissive, humble, and devoted to God. And what he said is, I know you as human beings can't live up to it. So this is what I'm going to do. Just come in my name, and I'm going to speak on your behalf. And I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so you can make it. So as Christians, we take time out every Sunday to stop what we're doing and to remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We call that communion. We take a little wafer, piece of bread, and we drink a little juice. And basically, it's not something that's just a random ceremony. It's symbolic of our gratitude for Jesus. So bow with me in prayer, and in your homes, take communion. And let's remember it's all about Jesus. Let us pray. Father and God, we come before you right now. And God, we want to thank you so much for the example you have left for us to read, with how you have always loved your people for thousands of years. And God, no matter what the Hebrew people went through, they rebelled, they didn't treat each other right, God, you stayed committed to them. And you gave them opportunities to grow, to repent, to change. And we're so grateful for the Jewish people because we got our Savior Jesus. And as he walked this earth, dear God, he showed us how we needed to love you and love one another. I want to thank you so much for his life. I want to thank you for his example, dear God. I want to thank you for him allowing himself to die and for him to be buried and to be resurrected. And that's what makes all the difference, God. Although that Friday, it seemed so gloomy, and that was the end of all humanity, he rose out of that grave. And it gives me hope, God, for what we're going through now. One day, it will get better. Pray, God, that you would bless this time of fellowship. And Father, we love you so much, and we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. We want to thank you so much for joining us today. We love you, and please get in touch with us and just share with us how you're doing, if there's any way we can be of encouragement to you. The Path Church, loves you. We pray that you have a great day and a wonderful week. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.